Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Our assignment from yesterday, do your daily practice. Take some time to make a recording that captures what you've learned from working with this month's focus. Perhaps start a folder that will allow easy access for review. So perhaps we can hear from people what they saw in working with relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. Our first caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Good morning, Sherry and Ashwini. It's Janice. And I'm happy to report that I saw a lot on relationships, and I really loved it because I started with the relationship I have with my husband, and I realized the connection I have with so many other relationships in community, or even going back to the other relationships, like my relationship with self-care and the body.
Uh-huh. So you've been seeing some things about process.
Yes.
Uh-huh. All right. Can you give us an example?
Well, for an example, one of the things that I wanted to look at was why do I end up feeling snappy or grumpy towards somebody that I deeply love?
Mm-hmm. Oh, and tell us what you saw, because I sense that a lot of people have that same question.
Well, I realized that there's an overextension on my part, sort of like a helpfulness that happens in relationships. And I'm not taking care of myself, and I'm not communicating exactly what's going on for me, because conditioning's busy communicating something, and I'm distracted by that or believing it. And now I'm able to see that it's just a process that I get caught in. I can drop out of it, drop back, and take a breath, and not
uh-huh.
take it personally, not take the person or the relationship personally, not
uh-huh.
take urges personally, and then I'm just more present.
Uh-huh. And so a piece of that is the deeply conditioned assumption that many people share, that as we are is not enough.
Right.
So as soon as we accept that premise, then ego has a list of ways we have to be and things we have to do in order to compensate for our lack of enoughness.
Mm-hmm.
And then once we start down that path, it's talking to us, distracting us. And then when we get to a place of that not working, which it's never going to do, because it's designed not to work, then we wind up listening to stories about how, in some way, an unexamined way, it's the other person's fault that we are in the state that we're in, and so then taking it out on them, either consciously or unconsciously, becomes the next step, and then, of course, a beating follows, because how can you be that way? I mean, you love him. How can you be that way?
Well, you sure laid it out.
You'd think I'd have the experience myself, wouldn't you, Jim? Yeah, I mean, if you didn't know better.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Just like that. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the really awful, to me, the ugliest part, I mean, what it does to, in this case, you, or the person who's the primary target of this, is awful. Setting it up so that it's taken out on somebody who never asked us to do any of that in the first place, didn't even know it was going on.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we look like we're perfectly happy doing what we're doing, absolutely willing to serve in any way that conditioning can think of us to serve, and then to use that against a loved one, and then, of course, the next step against us is just ugly.
Yeah, it's dreadful, really. Yep.
Dreadful, yeah. And so good to see that it's not you, it's not the other person, it's not anything except being bamboozled by that system that just wants our attention.
Yes, right. And mm-hmm. and even to the point of saying, well, if I actually hadn't been that exhausted or had so many challenges, I may not have got to see this. So that's the gift in that.
That's the gift in that. And then we get to, you know, just in whatever way, either, to the degree we can, let the other person know what we're working on.
Right.
And so that they don't take it personally, they get snapped at regularly or even periodically, and just move on from there. And hopefully it will, everyone involved will experience it as a blessing.
Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. and there's a kind of a belief or a trust that starts to happen in my own adequacy, and just following my heart of what is it that I want to do, and what do I believe that I'm not capable of, or conditioning might say that I'm too busy for, or I think whatever it is, and just trusting. Mm-hmm. No, actually, I have this impulse to do this, kind thing, or something that might take a little bit more of my time, and I want to follow that. I just wanted to say, so back in October, there was a small group of people that expanded, just had the willingness to work with the government to bring in, there's some UN-identified refugees that can come in. We have to raise funds, and there's a whole process. So I said, yeah, I want to do that. I just know I want to be a part of that, and I don't know how I can be a part or how much I can be a part. And that last night was moving day. The family arrived a month ago from Africa, and now they have an apartment, and they've been involved with things, and the whole process is just, it's still going to be for another year till they're completely on their feet. But I was thinking how I said way back in October, conditioning could have convinced me, I'm not going to be adequate. I don't want to let anybody down, so I'm not going to be part of this.
Right.
And that's not what my heart said.
That's right. And what you're learning to do over time and practice, over time with practice, is to trust that life will guide you.
Yeah.
You don't need conditioned mind to make decisions about situations that don't even exist yet. We talk about it at the monastery. We talk about conditioned mind solving problems we don't have. And that's the same thing. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Janice.
And I'm looking forward to Play is the Way.
I know. How exciting is that?
It's up in neon lights.
All right. Thank you, Janice.
Yeah. Gassho, everybody. Gassho to the two of you for presenting every morning beautiful guidance.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Go happy, huh?
Yeah. I'm going
All
happy.
Right. All right.
Thanks, Janice.
You too.
Sherry?
I think that was such a brilliant conversation, and it's just because we're in the summarizing phase of the month, that two things I noticed. One, it's an impulse of caring that gets sabotaged.
Yes.
Always, right? Mm-hmm. That you over because part of what conditioning does is an either or kind of scenario. If I want to be caring, then the equation has to be that I care for you, but don't care for me.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's something that I've been looking at so much is how much life is an and how much conditioning is an or.
Uh-huh.
right? Uh-huh. If there was that perspective that Janice realized that if I care for you, I also care for me, not the me of ego, but the me of the human being, then it's possible to be caring and not get exhausted and go to that conditioned place of snapping back at somebody who you love and then getting beaten up over it.
Mm-hmm.
And so just that practice of when the impulse to care for someone else arises, it can either be the beginning of a setup for a beating, because it's going to be, if I go into the conditioned process, it's going to be at my expense. But if that impulse of caring can be expanded in awareness to include me, now I'm so much more successful.
Yes, yes, yes. Your initial point that the goodness, the kindness is what ego, that system, loves to use against us. Right? Mm-hmm. So the impulse is loving, and then it gets twisted and turned by ego until self-hate can come in and in fact, tell us that we're not loving.
All right. Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourselves?
Well, good morning, Sherry and Ashwini. It's Kim calling from Vashon.
Hello, Kim. What have you been seeing?
Well, I really, really appreciated the prior conversation. And, you know, I was at the monastery in the middle of the month, and so my conditioning is telling me that my month got a little disrupted from that, and there's been a little bit of practice fatigue on coming back. Conditioning's practice fatigue.
It's exhausted.
Conditioning is really exhausted, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so... so I rallied, you know, I rallied the authentic self today to really kind of give a summary of relationship. And where I started with relationship is that I was always seeking outside of myself because it was never satisfying. And you either, the duality that I was trapped in is you either have to seek forever or you sit in dissatisfaction forever, because there's no relationship. And I mean, I was going at first specifically with, you know, a spouse, and then it was like, well, even with Sangha, because I can't be with Sangha in person all the time, you know? And so it's like, I always have to be seeking. And so, you know,
Kim?
Yeah.
I can't tell if this is where you're going, but the realization that the seeking is the dissatisfaction.
Absolutely. That it's always the seeking, and the seeking is just satisfaction, and then, you know, it's sort of a loop, you know, seeking brings me back to dissatisfaction because, oh, I'll never find what I'm really looking for in a relationship. And so then, of course, getting off of the merry-go-round is what really kind of snapped me back was that in any relationship, being that's my little four-legged Sangha there. Being how you want to be, being how you want to be in the relationship makes the relationship how you want it to be. Yeah. You were saying that prior in the previous days. So give me a little review of that.
Kim. You just reviewed it beautifully. Because in the seeking, we leave ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. So, and that's what conditioning says. I mean, the first basic assumption is you as you are, you're not enough. And what that's saying is we're going to ignore the fact that you are a unique expression of the intelligence that animates all life, which definitely makes you enough, okay? So for ego, let's put that aside. That's not a good starting point. So the assumption we're going to start with is you're not enough. So now you have to find someone else to complete you so that you will then be satisfied. So we can see that the whole thing is just every step in the process just takes us more and more and more distant from what is so, because we're never going to find someone else who is able to give us ourselves.
Yes.
It's just it doesn't work that way, right? It's just impossible. So what you've realized is that looking for somebody else is what causes the dissatisfaction, because in order to look for somebody else, you have to leave yourself. You have to accept that first step in that erroneous premise.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so realizing that and coming back to you brings you back to the moment, back to authenticity, back to what this person we call Kim is a unique expression of the intelligence animating all life. You, in quotes, come back to that.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's satisfaction with everything. And if other people are in your life, four-legged or two-legged or eight-legged or whatever, if they're in your life, they are seen as also a unique expression of the intelligence that animates all life. And you can enjoy that. You can appreciate that. But you don't need that.
Yes.
And again, and then to follow up with that, then being how you want to be in the relationship is the practice movement.
That's right. Because what you're practicing being in that relationship is the unique, authentic expression of life we call Kim. You want to be present. You want to be here. You want to choose unconditional love. Right? You don't want to focus on ego's interpretation of what other people are doing and the conversation in your head. You don't want to focus on that. You want to practice unconditional love. That's what you want. That's what you want in that relationship. To the degree that you are able to do that, that is what you will experience. And increasingly, you will see that, right? That the only time you're dissatisfied is when you get involved in a conversation in conditioned mind. That's it, because that's where dissatisfaction lives. It doesn't live in the heart.
Right, and a couple of little things, like easier to practice with some relationships, you know, than others. I mean, good to practice with all of them, but easier with my kids than sometimes with my spouse, because, I don't know, it's a different layer.
Easier with the dog than all of them.
Oh, my gosh. Wow, that's, you know, without saying. That goes without saying. And then, also the mantra of digging for water in one spot has really been coming up for a long time. It's like, I'm here. This is a good person. Underneath whatever is an authentic person that I see and I love, and I'm going to dig in this spot and see where I'm going to get water, you know?
That's right. That's exactly it. I'm guessing we're talking about your spouse now, not you.
Yes, we're talking about the spouse, right.
Okay, exactly. So talking about the spouse, this is somebody that at one time you were wild about, crazy about, saw all the goodness in, right? And then over time, that's what conditioning does. It does it to us. It does it to us with other people. And so that's what you're getting back to. You're getting back to the unconditional in you, which sees the unconditional in him. And that's, yes, it's a perfect place to work. If he were abusive, if he were a brute, then it would be different. I would not be saying, this is a great place for you to work, Kim. But he's not.
Mm-hmm.
And so, know the authenticity that's under all that ego finds annoying about him.
Yes.
All right. Yep. Very good.
Yep. Thank
you.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Ashwini.
Go happy.
Thanks, Kim.
Go happy.
Oh, there was so much in that conversation, Jerry. But I think the overall takeaway is really the message of the focus of the month is really when we're looking at relationships, we have the opportunity to bring into unconditional love and acceptance everything in us that has been separated, right? In other words, the ultimate oneness is to bring all aspects
of life that have been taken over by the ego back to life in me.
Yes.
And when I do that, it doesn't matter because the oneness is what I'm experiencing, and therefore I experience love, compassion, all of those things. And that the gift of life is every challenging situation or person, that's how you see the God in them. It's by looking at the opportunity to reclaim the God in me that has been lost, and that's actually God interrupting, right?
Yeah.
Here,
yeah.
This is one place where you haven't embraced this aspect of divinity. Let's work on that.
Yes, yes. And the one point that Kim made that is really important to underline for all of us in every situation, start with the easy.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Start with the easy and work, because ego will say, find the most difficult relationship that you can imagine and start with that. Don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Start with what's super easy and get really comfortable and good with that, and life will drop in the next place to practice.
Yes, it's the same encouragement that you gave us yesterday, which is it doesn't have to be hard.
Uh-huh. I don't remember that, but that's very good. That is true.
Right, that it don't have to take the hardest, that that conditioning would say you want to take the one that is the hardest thing to do. It was with Virginia talking about being a sister, right? Yeah, that's a hard
place.
So if you want to practice being a sister, do it in a place where it's not difficult to do.
Yes, yes, exactly so. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's not a contest. That's probably what we're talking about, huh? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Jennifer from Whidbey Island, Washington.
Well, hello, Jennifer. We are getting the Northwest, huh?
Yes. Just the technology thing. That took a really long time before it told me I could now ask my question. So that's why it took me a long time to answer. It was an abnormally long time. I just thought, oh, someone else is talking now.
Well, technology. It's such a fun practice companion, isn't it? It lets us know regularly that, one, you have no control. You have no idea what's going to happen next. Anything is possible. Yeah.
Right. And then I have these expectations that technology should just work the same as always, and it just
we expect ourselves and other people, right? It should all just go perfectly all the time, shouldn't it?
Exactly. Of course. Yes, it definitely should. I have a question about: is there going to be a book that incorporates all this new making a change for good with the recording and the listening aspect?
I don't know, Jennifer.
Oh, okay.
May I, Sherry?
Yes, please. I didn't want to put you on the spot, but I knew you were our best hope.
Well, yes, we are. We're actually going to redo Making a Change for Good, a new Making a Change for Good book with this retreat and all of the focuses, and hopefully we'll see where that goes. By the end of the year, we'll have
fantastic.
A book.
Fantastic. I love it.
Yeah, the background of that, Jennifer, is that Shambhala Press actually published that book. It was one of their several other publishers that we did books for along the years, and we just bought it back from them. So that we could make it more current with our practice.
Oh, that's so good. I am loving this retreat so much. When I used to use Making a Change for Good, I went through that book for years, and so when I would just do it over and over and over, new topic.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just fabulous doing it with the whole Sangha. And I don't think I would have thought of all these content areas, so I'm very pleased with this.
Oh, good.
Yeah. And on the relationship, a very good topic, and the interesting thing I noticed was I got everything all, you know, what I was going to do for my behavior change, and all of a sudden, nobody was acting the way that had triggered me to, you know, come up with this behavior change. Like, what?
Come on, you guys, act out.
Nobody's being negative. I don't see any negative worldviews. Nobody's being angry around me, which then had me start to think about, maybe I'm the one who's changed. Maybe nobody's acting any differently. It's just my interpretation.
Ooh, I love that place. Was I making that all up? Or did everybody change? Yeah. And it's startling, isn't it? And attention getting. Because
it is.
Yeah. Because if that's what's happened, then when I read something that says we're making all this up, I get it. That is true. That's a true statement.
Yes. Yes. So I just think it's magical when you make a shift in yourself and the whole world changes. Yay. It's great.
Yes, it is great. And as a process, it's compelling, isn't it?
It is.
Because just the simplest thing that we see and assume is true, to have that growing realization that, you know, it probably isn't. And true in the sense, yes, it's true that it's what I'm experiencing right now, but who's experiencing it right now? And
right.
It's that place. So there you are with the people around you, there you are with your loved ones, and this is going on, and you say blah, 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 blah to one of your loved ones who looks at you like you have just lost your mind. Okay? So that's, I can't see that. Or I'm not, yeah? And we just say, well, they're lying. They're making it up. They're, you know, they're whatever
it's
it is.
It's pretty obvious that they're wrong.
Exactly. And then this dawning that, oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a great experience, really. It has you look at everything.
Yes, and you know, you probably heard that possibility earlier in your life, and you weren't, I'll speak for myself, I wasn't ready for that awareness.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been destructive, actually, to get that I'm
right.
Making up my entire reality. I mean, you know, that's a good definition of going crazy.
Yes, or
right, at
getting
a certain
into self-hate.
Point. Yes,
yeah.
Exactly. But then we practice along, and get to that point and get it, and it's funny. It's exciting.
Yeah.
It's thrilling. It's like I can now see other people in a completely different way, realizing I don't know who they are. I don't know what they're doing. I have no idea what they're thinking, or I don't even know if what I think they're doing is what they're doing.
Not only that, I don't even know who I am or what I'm thinking.
Right. Yeah, because the same lens goes both ways, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And, in fact, we talk about that in practice. I'll say to people regularly, you have no idea who you are. You have no idea who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And they
That's
just kind
good
of
news.
either nod or inside
right.
think, you're crazy.
Yeah, right.
But it's true. Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
I know who I am.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very good.
Oh, that's so fun.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Glad technology worked. Finally.
Yes.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Jennifer. Oh, there was so much in that, too, but I think we're at the end of the show, Sherry. So I wanted to read the assignment and just say something that we were looking at on the write-up. So the assignment for today is read and record the write-up for this month's focus. As you listen to the recording, look to see where you suffer with this particular content. Jot that down. So the focus of the month is play. So the example says, the content is play. Perhaps you're looking at a lack of spontaneity in your life, an inability to say yes to something unknown and unscheduled. So in this this time, the at the end of the write-up is a series of quotes that might be ways in which you want to look at the content if just play isn't something that you can easily resonate with. So we put in a bunch of quotes at the end to say, okay, maybe these are some of the dimensions of play that you want to look at.
Right, because it's not just spontaneity, right? It's
no.
It's big.
Adventure.
It's a huge subject.
Uh-huh. Yes. Yes.
Which, and so, our conversation with Jennifer, which is something we each get to experience for ourselves, right? Which is such an important place in practice. It's not, nobody's going to tell you what your experience of anything is, but it's up to us to find out what we believe about our experience.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. All right. Very exciting. We're beginning a new month.
Yes. All right. Well, thank you, Ashwini. Thank you, everybody.
And go happy.
Go happy. Yes. Yes. Oh, we have tomorrow. Today is Thursday.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thanks again. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.